In Luke chapter 10, in verse 21, it says, "In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and he said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth,'" in verse 21 of chapter 10, "'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.'" How is Jesus revealing to you who the Father is, that you might know him? "For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. There are people who prayed and didn't get answers. And these answers are coming now in this period of time that the prophets and kings, 'Oh, Lord, show me. Oh, Lord, tell me,' and didn't get the answer. But here's Jesus, and he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit." You see, seeing is not necessarily the result of praying, perhaps. However, Jesus speaks of a revelation of God's thoughts. God's thoughts about how reality functions. "Thank you that you have hidden these things," how the stuff works, "from the wise and understanding, and you've revealed these things to the little children." It's not just the smart people. It's not just the extroverts. It's everyone in the room that God is saying, "Know me and own it and stand up for it." It's not just the professionals. It's not the prophets or the kings. It's not the experts. It's you, little one. Do you think, "Oh, I'm just a little one"? Has someone told you you're young? Sit down. Well, Paul says, Timothy, don't let them despise your youth. Are you new at this Christian thing? Have you only been doing it for a bit of a while? How long does it take a person born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, to be useful to God, to stand up and speak and say, "Wait a minute, my Bible says this. Is that true?" Doesn't take any time. Jesus saves people and he sends people. Jesus uses people. That's what's going on here. In this prayerful relationship, God's thoughts about how reality functions in the spiritual dimension of our being. You don't just live in the meat. You know, you don't need Doctor Who to talk about dimensions. But there's another aspect to our existence that is spiritual. And angels that don't dwell physically but exist spiritually punch holes into our reality throughout Scripture. And people go, "Whoa!" Because it's there. Because God is there. And when you're praying to God who's there. And what you need from God. And there needs to sometimes be something that's drawn down from what you don't know into where you're living. And that is prayer. It's very important. God's engagement with us is initiated by Him. It's God's grace. But a sign of this grace is found in our response to God. Why do you pray? Jesus modeled a relationship with our Heavenly Father that included spontaneous public prayer, we see in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. That here we're told of the role and presence of the Holy Spirit. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and he said, "I thank you, Father." Turn and look at Acts chapter 13. It's just after the Gospels. Some people have said it's a fifth Gospel. It's certainly a historic book. It's narrative in its scope. It tells the story. So why do you pray? Acts chapter 13, verse 1. "There were in the church at Antioch prophets, teachers." So they had respectable cats who were saying stuff about God that they knew. They tell you their names because God cares about your name. He cares about these people, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananane, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them." Verse 3, then after fasting and praying more, they laid their hands on them and sent them off, which is an apostleship. These are apostles also, this Barnabas and Saul. And look at verse 4. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, not being sent out by Barnabas and Simeon or Lucius or Manaim or Herod or Saul, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there on they sailed to Cyprus. So we've seen Jesus praying often, and we've seen Jesus sometimes alone and sometimes with people, and we've seen Jesus praying in the morning and in the evening and praying all night, and we've observed that Jesus wasn't praying to get power. And we see that even with Jesus not around in the room, that when people are praying, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to people gathered in worship and fasting, which is prayerful practice. And then after believing the Holy Spirit has said this, how did they know what the Holy Spirit was saying? Was there a voice in the room? Did someone speak up and say, "I believe the Holy Spirit would do this"? We don't get the answer from this scripture, but it happened. And I expect it to happen in the life of the church. And when it happened, they knew it wasn't them. They knew it was the Holy Spirit, these prayerful people, these people who were practiced in prayer, who knew the Lord, who were led by Him. Why pray?